And welcome back into our program. You really owe it to yourself, if you want to stay on top of important issues here in Michigan, to check out the Mackinac Center's website, mackinac.org. And if you go there, you'll get heads up on sessions like the one that will take place in Lansing today, part of the Mackinac Center's Issues and Ideas Forum. It's going to be held at the Radisson Hotel at noon, and they provide lunch at no charge, too. So, I mean, it's a good deal. But it's part of their Issues and Ideas Forum. Today's topic is global environmental and economic challenges. And on the line with us right now to talk about the forum, first of all, from the Mackinac Center, Jack McHugh, the legislative analyst and editor of MichiganVotes.org. Hello, Jack.
Good morning, Frank, and thanks for the opportunity to speak to your audience.
Well, good to have you with us. The idea of these forums is what?
Well, this is right down in the belly of the beast in Lansing, so we're looking to provide information to policymakers, their staff, and also to interested citizens who want to learn about some of these critical issues.
Well, the guest today to talk about Waxman-Markey, the climate change bill, reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and all of that, is Dr. Margot Thorning, the senior vice president and chief economist with the American Council for Capital Formation out of Washington, D.C., and she's on the other end of our line as well. Dr. Thorning, good morning.
Thank you.
So Waxman-Markey is going to save the planet for one and drive down energy costs, isn't it?
Well, there's a lot of evidence that suggests just the opposite is true. The American Council for Capital Formation and co-sponsored a project with the National Association of Manufacturers last year to analyze the impact of the Waxman-Markey bill, which requires an 82% reduction in U.S. greenhouse gas emissions by the year 2050. And we analyzed for all 50 states, including Michigan, what it would mean if states have to make these kind of sharp cuts. For example, by 2030, states would have to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 42%. And we use the Department of Energy's own model, the NIMS model, the large-scale macroeconomic model, to quantify the impact of companies and having to buy the right to emit a ton of carbon. And our analysis, which we inputted some reasonable assumptions about how quickly new technologies can actually be put into place, like how many new nuclear plants we can really build by 2030, how much carbon capture and storage we can get up and running so that utilities that burn coal, as they do in Michigan, can burn that coal and not emit CO2, and how quickly renewable energy can be made part of the grid. And your listeners can get on the ACCF website, www.accf.org, and download the full study, the 45-page study, and also the two-pager on Michigan. But the bottom line for Michigan, if Waxman-Markey or a similar bill like Cary Graham-Lieberman, which we expect to see very soon, it has the same reduction targets as Waxman-Markey, if that bill were put into place, by 2030, Michigan could expect to see between 60 and 90,000 fewer jobs. There would be, compared to the baseline forecast, a significant job loss and much higher energy prices. Natural gas prices would be 60 to 70% higher, residential electricity prices 50 to 50% higher, 60% higher, and manufacturing output would drop by between 5 and 6%.
But Dr. Thorning, we are told by our politicians that their efforts to introduce alternative energy sources, wind turbines, etc., that's the big player right now, wind turbines, that's actually going to create jobs. That's our new economy here. That's the new manufacturing.
Well, there are some significant challenges with trying to get renewable energy to be a larger share of the U.S. energy supply. For one thing, electricity produced from renewable sources tends to be 2 to 3 times more expensive than coal-fired natural gas or even existing nuclear-generated electricity. And we did model the renewable portfolio provisions as well as the energy efficient provisions and the cap-and-trade provisions in the Waxman-Markey bill, and even with picking up some new jobs in what they call green industries, we still overall lose jobs. The U.S. loses between 1.7 million jobs and 2.4 million jobs by 2030 because industry becomes less competitive. People are paying more for electricity. That's the purpose of this bill, to drive up energy prices on conventional energy so but that you'll use less of it.
Because time is short, I want to throw this in, but the other part of this bill is making money for people who are investing in that carbon market through the Chicago Climate Exchange, et cetera, isn't it?
Well, clearly there will be winners, and people who expect to be able to sell credits expect to make money.
Including, by the way, Al Gore, Goldman Sachs, they're all part owners of that. And
Wall Street is salivating at the thought of this
cap-and-trade
market.
They can now sell, Jack McHugh, they'll now be able to sell air. That's the ultimate risky investment, isn't it?
Yeah,
and this is the really dishonest part of this bill. If I were someone who believed very strongly in global warming risks, I'd be angry about cap and trade, because what it will do is enrich certain businesses who make money not by providing value in the marketplace, but by having the best lobbyists in Washington. And there's ways to, accomplish that goal, if that is your goal, that would not have nearly the damaging effects. But, of course, this is something that the politicians like, but the people should not like at all.
All right, these are the kinds of issues that are raised at the Mackinac Center sessions, like that one today in Lansing at the Radisson Hotel. Jack McHugh will be there, and Dr. Margot Thorning will be the guest of honor from the American Council for Capital Formation. We're glad both of you could be with us this morning. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye. By the way, that website again, accf.com, accf.com, to get all of the information.